listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight on LA Talk Radio, Empowered Communication Radio Show. My name is Sue Wagner. I'm Dr. Pat Allen's daughter and the director of the Dr. Pat Allen Want Institute. We're so fortunate tonight to have myself and Andy Shaw available to answer your relationship questions. Before we start taking your questions, I want to tell you a little bit about our sponsor, the Want Institute. The Want Institute currently provides facilitators that will educate you with techniques for how to begin, build, and maintain lasting, loving relationships. The facilitators will introduce you to basic communication skills using the techniques of Want Training as developed by Dr. Pat Allen. The call-in number for the show, if you'd like to call in and have a question answered, will be 323-203-0815. If you want to reach out to the Want Institute for any of our services, the telephone number is 949-723-0338, or you can send me an email at info@drpatallen.com, info@drpatallen.com. Currently, I offer a woman's group. I have three or four groups Monday nights, Tuesday nights, and Thursday nights after the radio show. I limit it to five ladies, very low cost, and I help ladies with communication tools, dating skills, working with their spouses, working to build relationships, helping them with their online profile. And I use all of Dr. Allen's tools and methods. So if you're interested in the class, it's basically $15 a class, and it's a one-month obligation once a week. You can email me. I have openings on my Tuesday class, and I'm open to offer more times available, open up more classes. Dr. Allen is still alive and doing well. She'll be 91 in September. We would love to have her on the show. However, her hearing is going. She's not able to hear a lot of the people call in. So I'm here to carry on her work and hopefully help spread the message that she did for 50 some years to her people, going to her seminars and reading her books. And tonight we have Andy Shaw. He's a former student as well, so he knows Dr. Allen's material. Andy, do you want to chime in and say hello?
Hi, audience.
Hi. I'm going to tell the telephone number again is 323-203-0815. If you're not available to call into the show, you can always email me, and I will read your question on the air. We'll answer it, and you can listen to the archives for the answer. There's a lot of people in different time zones, and they're not able to call live. What we're going to go over today is I pulled out this Dr. Allen's board work where it has all her pledges. Do you remember that, Andy?
No, I sure do.
I think you wrote it up.
Yeah.
let me see. Let me pull it out here. So it says a lot of her books. She's got her books, Getting to I Do, Staying Married and Loving It, Conversational Rape, It's a Man's World, A Woman's Universe, The Answers Book, The Truth About Men. They're all available on Amazon.com. And Conversational Rape, too. You can order them on Amazon.com. And I think the best book, Andy, what would you say? The book that everybody is most familiar with is Getting to I Do. What would you say your favorite book is? I also like The Answers. The Answers is a quick read with all the quotes and little cliff notes.
Getting to I Do was my initial favorite. I still like the Man's World, A Woman's Universe mm-hmm. as a general book.
Okay.
A lot of data at the practical level. So, but I have The Answers book. I have The Conversational Rape, Dating Advice for Alpha Women, Getting to I Do, Life of Love, Man's World, Woman's Universe, Staying Married and Loving It, Truth About Men, and, of course, the Want Communication Manual. So,
I have somebody that just emailed me. She says, I'm recently dating and I'm having a hard time not playing games. Some guys are controlling. They want to see me all the time and want to read receipts. Oh, you know, when you text, how it shows if it's read. What would you take? Okay, so what I'm getting is that some guys are controlling. They want to see me all the time and want me to share my read receipts, which means they can see if she read her message or not. This woman, I guess she feels it's too controlling for him to ask to be open up that she sees that he read her text. What's your thought on it? I personally would want to know that somebody read mine, and I would want them to know if they read mine, so there's no misinformation that they didn't get my text, you know, and when they did get it. Because if I asked them, hey, are you available to go to lunch, and no, I couldn't see if it read, and then I didn't hear back from them till 6 o'clock at night, I'd feel a little concerned when they read my text. What's your thought on that?
Well, do you see mine when I read your text?
I don't think you do, right? I pretty much see, yeah. Well, I show, I just sent you something and it says delivered.
So I've turned my read receipts off for everybody.
Oh, why? Can maybe explain what the reason is?
As for the same kind of reason, people go, well, you read it 6 hours ago. Why didn't you answer?
Okay, so that's more or less you don't want them to be aware of when you read it?
Well, I have a life, and I presume other people do too.
Okay. Well, let's say if you're a girl and you're supposed to be patient, passive, vulnerable, and available. And Dr. Allen says, when a man calls you, do your best to answer back as you know, you do have a life, but as best when you're available, or at least let him know, I'm not available to chat now, but I'm available after 5. I always thought that Dr. Allen said, always make yourself available. So if a man is texting you, and you don't get back to him for 2 or 3 days, do you think he's going to want to keep pursuing you?
Well, I mean, part of that is communication. Part of that is boundaries.
Okay.
Part of that is, you know, if you work all day and you go, hey, you know, I work in an area that I don't have my cell phone and I can only look at it a couple times a day. Like, that's just the way my life is.
Okay.
You're accepted or rejected.
Okay.
However, I do work in an environment that my cell phone's available. It doesn't mean I'm looking at my cell phone all day long.
Okay.
So between the hours of like 7 and 5, you can need to give me like an 8-hour grace period.
Okay.
And then, you know, I will answer typically that night or within as soon as I can. But those are boundaries. Those are communication problems. I've got my old coworker used to say, love doesn't pay my bills.
Okay. But then again, if you're a woman wanting to be, you know, dated and pursued, if you make yourself too unavailable, that when he texts you, he never knows if you even read his message, that might give him a signal that you're not interested as well. I'm just saying that if the man asks you to, is it something illegal, immoral, and ethical, or you have to call the police, the doctor, or an attorney? Remember, Dr. Allen says, do what they say and look. Yeah,
lead and follow, right?
Yeah. You know, he's your president. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and to me, it's a negotiable item.
Okay. Because
you've also got some stalker people who get too involved. And people who get too possessive and too controlling. And I'm of the mindset that if I pay your bills, I have a say in something about them.
Okay.
But if I don't pay your bills, I'm not paying your phone bill. I don't get a say.
Okay.
So, I mean, an answer could be, hey, you want to help pay my bill? I'll turn them on for you.
Okay. Well, they're just dating. And I think he just wants to know that she sees his text, his messages.
Well, you know, take this into the physical context.
Okay.
I'm having a conversation with you,
okay.
and I can see something, and you're, you know, off on la la land thinking about something else.
Uh-huh.
Did my words get into your ears? Yes. Did they register in your brain? I'm not sure yet until you respond to me.
Okay.
So unless you say something in the physical realm, which is the equivalent of texting back.
Okay.
I heard you. I'll respond shortly.
Okay. Well, maybe then if the man wants to know, he would do better to call her personally if he needs to make sure he connects or he gets to be heard. Oh, we have a caller on. Caller, you're on the air. Do you have a question for us?
Yes, hi, guys. I have a question. I'm not sure if I'm being too dramatic. Can I tell you guys a scenario that happened to me and this guy I was dating?
Okay.
So I've been talking to someone for about a month. Everything has been super consistent, sweet and flirty, all the good stuff. Out of nowhere, last Friday, he texted me, hey, just a heads up, you know, I'm going out with my work friends tonight and not to wait up. So he didn't invite me. There was really no follow-up. I just replied with a thumbs up, and I just kind of shut down after that. I didn't feel like texting him, like over the weekend, and I still haven't reached out to him. You know, the weekend is approaching again. I just feel like I'm looking for something more serious, or maybe I overreacted.
Are you exclusive right now? Are you in a relationship with exclusivity, continuity, and monogamy?
I said it was just fun, dating, flirty.
Okay. Well, then you have your mind. Then you're both single, and he has a right to be single and live a single life as you do as well. Unless you agree to be monogamous, exclusive, and with continuity, and even then, he may still want to negotiate going out with his friends. You don't. It's not good to have a codependent relationship where it's just you two against the world.
Okay.
So.
But I just feel like he's not that serious about me.
No, it means he wants to have a life and you're in his life, but he also has, I'm sure you want to go out with your girlfriends without him as well. You have to have a variety, not just you and him in the world.
I am being extra sensitive. So I should text him this weekend and continue dating him.
Yeah, be glad he said, hey, I'm going out with my friends. Is that okay? It hurt your feelings that you got trumped by his friends, but it's not good to be together 24/7. Togetherness. You always want a little bit of other activities so you enjoy your time together. Codependency is when you need somebody around 24/7. And if they go elsewhere, you get angry and pull them back. And it's almost smothering people that they can't have a life without you.
Okay. That's a little harsh.
Well, Well, you have to understand that relationships are to... If people get in relationships, they usually don't want to just be, you know, you and you, the two of you, and you do everything together. Andy, what's your take on this?
Well, I'm looking it up in the books. Andrew's book has, you know, too much proximity lowers chemistry.
Yes.
Oh, what does that mean?
You're together too much, proximity. When your
intimacy will be affected?
Yes. Everything gets affected.
Wow. Remember the saying, absence makes the heart grow fonder? You look forward to seeing them again. There's the excitement. Oh, I haven't seen them for a couple of days. I'm excited to see them. And, you know, people that have been sitting in the same house together for 30 years. Oh, I can't wait for them to leave.
That makes so much sense. Okay.
So be careful.
I'm getting over my own insecurities.
Yeah, that's an insecurity there, or something happened of abandonment for you. You want, and something with your, maybe your dad didn't cherish you enough. So you every guy that comes into your life, you give them the daddy bill. You have to be my daddy and take care of me 24/7.
Yeah, I could see that.
Whatever your parents did will come about in the people you pick, your insecurities and traumas. If you had an absent dad, you always go after the guy that's not available.
Can I read something?
Yeah, go ahead, Andy.
Sometimes, this is from Staying Married and Loving It. Sometimes couples need some space because too much togetherness dulls the chemical edge, especially if they work together or spend all their free time together. Being together constantly disallows the fun of missing each other, which can be chemically stimulating for a couple. The chase is in the mind, not the body. Sex is a mind game that the body fulfills in action. If a masculine energy man has to chase a feminine energy woman because she's predictable and always available like a mother, and she, in return, never gets to feel the passion of the chase because there exists no space between them for individuality, they doom their sex life to little more than release of passionless energy.
So what that's saying is you're too available as well. Men enjoy the chase. So if you're always wanting him 24/7, he doesn't get to chase you on his terms. And
I see.
And you might come across as really needy, and that scares men as well. You want to have your life and show him how fabulous your life is, and he'll want to be part of that life.
Okay. So let him go out with his friends without me, and that's no problem.
That's no problem, because you're going to probably want to go out with your girlfriends too.
Mm-hmm.
There's a part that if you watch the video, Chemistry, Compatibility, and Communication on our website, drpatallen.com, there's the relationship contract items. And Dr. Pat has you go over time, space, money, and play. And on that, she has couples, before they get married, fill that out. Because a lot of couples want 3 or 4 days to do things like golf, go out with their girlfriends, do Pilates, their own activities, and you negotiate. I want this Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I want happy hour with my girlfriends from 6 to 10. And the other person says, yeah, okay, thanks for letting me know. I'll put that. And those are her designated time away. And the man may want golf on Sunday from 6 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. And she knows that's his time. And he may say, I want every Friday, every Thursday night from 6 to midnight out with the guys. So you do negotiate your time away or time away from each other. That's healthy as well.
Okay. I appreciate the advice and the insight.
So is this man or person, are you guys building a relationship or casual dating? Because you should be dating three people.
It's only been a month, so...
I know it, but if you're already getting hurt with him going out with other guys, the thing to do is date 3 men so you don't over-focus on him. It sounds like you're over-focusing on what he's doing that
way.
See, when you get 3 men, you get to pick the best one. That's the duty dating Dr. Allen tells everybody to do.
Okay, I will continue on the apps until he asks me to get off the apps and we agree that we're both not going to be on the dating apps.
Yes, it doesn't sound like he's, you know, if he still's calling you to date, you go out and date until you want to be exclusive.
Gotcha. Okay.
And do not have sex until you make an agreement to be exclusive, because men do not fall in love with vaginas. They fall in love with virtues. If he knows that you'll spread your legs for him, he'll worry you're going to do it to another guy that comes along, easy and available.
I see that. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of women try to use sex to get a man. That very rarely works. for the long term.
Well, yeah. Okay. Well, thank you guys for answering my question.
Thank you for calling, caller.
Hey, wish you luck.
Yeah. What did you think about that caller? Yeah.
Well, that was good.
Now, what's your take? There's that's a fine line between being a little bit codependent when you're too needy to a man. That generally scares men.
Yeah, I remember someone asking which one of them is best, because you got the convenient, the covenant, and the codependent. And Dr. Pat never said that any one was bad or good in particular. It was just what was appropriate for your situation. Because there are religious reasons to have a codependent one. And there are, I don't know, too many codependent reasons to have one. Was it convenient, covenant? Yeah, codependent. Can you think of any good reasons to have a codependent relationship?
I don't have my paper here. Little pause out here. I'm just going to, I got my paper. The call-in number for the show is 323-203-0815. And you were asking about the types of relationships. Let's pull it out. I think one is convenient, where both people kind of do their own thing. Codependent, it's the two of them against the world. They're kind of connected. And then the covenant, where they're joined for the greater good. They both share their I's, their we's, and they share the us. Oh, here it is. Yeah. Covenant. You know, convenient. Two independent people bringing social, financial security, and sexual, sensual security for a joint venture in the world. That's the us. Codependent. Two dependent people symbolically come together as a we to face a fearful world, us. Covenant. Two independent people negotiate a mutual interdependency as a we for a greater good and become a balanced unit in the world as an us. Did you get that?
I did. That was from the Answers book, right? Or Life of
Love? It's also in our workbook, too. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The communication, Dr. Allen's workbook. So hopefully we'll get another question. The call-in number is 323-203-0815.
Hey, Sue, in your groups, what have you heard? What's the latest problem that you can think of?
The latest, okay. What I'm learning now is that when we pick men as your picker, you generally pick the person that mirrors what the work or trauma that you want, that you need to heal. So if you had an absent father or a dad that never nurtured you or said, I love you, you go after that in a man because that's your wound and you always find it. And to find it is good, but you have to heal from it. So a lot of women, they have absent dads. So what's the first picker they go? They go to an unavailable man, and then they try to get his love because it was the love they didn't get from their dad. That's a mirror to help you see the wounds that would do best for you to work through. And Dr. Allen always says, desensitize yourself and go with the opposite so you can heal your wounds and learn to be with a better type of man. But a lot of women, they just focus on the core wounds. Have you heard that before?
Yeah, I know. I've heard that you're attracted to the missing part of you.
Yes. Or the work, the part that you need work on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And I was trying to think of my own life, and because, you know, that's all I have to go off of.
And so there's a test you say I've heard, if you say three things that you disliked about your mom, one word sentence, three things that you disliked about your father, one word, you know, you could say he was angry, you know, he was an alcoholic, or he was absent, you say three things that hurt you, and then you go back and say three things you wished your mom would have done better, and then three things you wished your dad would have done better, and that will find out the wounds that you that to heal through too.
Interesting. Sorry, lost in thought.
So, like, it's like little girls learn more through their daddy on how a relationship is, because the daddy is the umbrella, and little boys learn from their mother. So mothers should, you know, are best to, like Dr. Allen says, push your son away to start negotiating when he's age 5 to be a man. But unfortunately, there's a lot of moms that coddle these boys till they're in their 20s or 30s. So what happens is, when they're in a relationship, they pick women like mom that fixes everything. And then the girl that did not have a dad to show her what a good, healthy man is, they pick a dad. They pick somebody just like dad that's not available and maybe unloving. So those are the wounds that to look at in relationships.
Interesting.
Well, you heard Dr. Allen talk about the daddy umbrella, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I'm just, I was talking to my boss, old boss, a while back, and he was saying how he was talking to somebody, and he said the same thing. I guess he was counting literally 26 times. And on the 26th time, it finally sunk into this person he was talking to what he was saying. So, you know, as you hear the same things over and over again, I think we hear them a little bit differently. Because
okay.
Our cultures have changed.
Yes.
And our understanding of the world has changed.
Yes.
So I'm hoping that when wisdom chases me, I'm not too fast for it.
What does that mean?
Oh. It means I'm seeking wisdom, and that.
So as far as my women groups go, a lot of these women had unavailable dads, alcoholic dads, or absent dads. So right there tells me, and their picker is they're either with a bad man, and he's not available, he doesn't want to commit, he lies, cheats, and he calls them names, but they have to be with him because that's what they see as their family unit, is what they saw as a relationship. So hope I try to steer them, and they can stay with that. They can stay till they can't stay anymore, or they can try to move over and learn the lesson to be with a healthier man. And that can take, 6 to 8 weeks to change a behavior. And it's called, Dr. Allen calls it desensitizing. Remember when she says, go out with any guy, as long as he doesn't have an orange jumpsuit, and eventually you'll learn by example to be around good men. You probably won't be attracted, but the more you go out, the more comfortable you'll be.
I was trying to find the part where it talks about you don't like planes. Oh, I know what it was.
What?
It's on her Want Training for Effective Living.
Okay, what is it? Give me a reminder.
It's basically when you don't like planes and you don't like airports, and when you desensitize.
Oh,
how do you?
Yeah. It's like a phobia, it's like if you have desensitizing is if you're afraid to fly in a plane, you go to the airport and you sit there and watch planes, and then maybe you go on the tarmac or the mat to go on. You just eventually get comfortable going on a plane, and you might take a short half-hour plane ride. You might get on and off a plane and then eventually take a half hour till it becomes comfortable. And there would be another, it's just kind of like when you're running, when you're going to the gym, you hate going the first couple of times to work out, your body's sore. But if you keep going, it becomes a habit and you become comfortable and confident with the exercise. So it's kind of desensitizing a phobia. It's like smoking, you'll get the patch and you'll smoke less and less and less. So you don't smoke anymore. You have to work through it. It's not going to happen overnight. It takes some work.
Yeah, and it definitely doesn't do just knowledge. It's no. Knowledge with action, not knowledge alone. Yeah.
That's one thing. You women come on and they, okay, how can I get my boyfriend to dot, dot, dot? I can't teach you that. I can help you be a better person. And if you're a better person with better tools, then you can shape him, or he may leave you, or you may end up leaving him. There's always one. If one person seeks knowledge and to better themselves, we hope the other one comes up with them, but sometimes they will not. So at that point, you'll know when you're ready to leave. I never tell anybody to leave, but sometimes you have to just sit through the pain until you're ready to leave. And generally, we want you to leave when you have empathy, not anger, but you feel sorry for the other person. Then you're ready to leave.
Apathy and empathy. You know what they have, you don't want anymore, and you feel sorry for them.
Yeah, because if you still are anger or mad, you're still connected. Some of my women, they're with, and I'm not a moralist or judge. You know, the guy calls her names and this and that, and she validates it that he buys her dinner and stuff. And I said, well, that's fine. If you want to be called names and the good in him is buying you dinner, then so be it. But don't complain about the name calling, because that is who he is. And if you've said stop and he won't do it, chances are he's not going to do it. So you have to decide when you're ready to leave, because I can't make anybody change their behavior. I don't have those skills.
Yeah, none of us do.
They all want, how can I get him to? I'm like, no, I can't teach you that. Yeah. Usually I'll help you not to react to him. And when you get grounded and comfortable, because whatever he's doing because you either allow it or it's a trigger, or that's your form of lovemaking that you're comfortable with. So sometimes it's changing you to find out that he, you know, what the trauma is in you, why you picked him, if you have problems with him calling you names.
Have you ever had a student or somebody who started with their coaching thing and went into class number one and went, nope, this isn't for me, I'm out?
I've had some of them challenge me, and I don't, it's like, number one, I don't go and force people into my class. I you come in and, you know, I do my best, and I learn by experience. People say, oh, you're Dr. Pat Allen's daughter, you know it. No, I had a horrible experience. I went through the trenches just like all the ladies I coach, and I did the work. I learned the tools, and nobody is ever 100% healed. I still get triggered and I still do my own self-sabotaging stuff. But when somebody else sees that in you that can identify it, I can show them what I see and then hopefully tell them maybe what to do better or different or communicate. And when they do it enough, then it becomes a habit for them and they become happier. And some of the men go away and some of the men step up. So, but if I can get them to do Pat Allen's course, it is rewarding. I am working with very successful, you know, people, and just a couple of sessions. One time a week I can keep you on track. But there's a lot of damage with these women from fathers and boyfriends that they carry on to the next guy that gets the bill for all the other guys. And it's called the wounded woman. They've got a wall up that these poor men that they're dating can't chop down.
So I'm looking up Daddy Bill, but if you were to give somebody, say for the guys listening, right?
Yeah.
And you've got a girl that you like, but she's a little bit damaged, as we all are.
Yes. Yes.
What advice would you give him?
I think most of my women that are damaged are in their masculine, because that keeps them safe if they're in control. So the men are usually either feminine and do not step up. So the women have to take charge. They usually, masculine women that want to, that have had trauma usually stay in their masculine to be safe. And they generally pick feminine men, and they can't stand how wimpy they are. They don't make plans. They generally don't have money. So they end up doing it for a while, and then they get tired, and they want him to step up. But it's like the two energies, the magnet. If you have a person that's 75% masculine, and the woman is if you have a man 75% masculine and the woman 75 masculine, their percentages will repel. They're too like-minded energies. If you have a man that's 75 masculine and a woman that's 50 or 70% feminine, they'll connect like a magnet. That's the masculine and feminine. We both have that, both have the energy, but sometimes we carry a little bit more of one energy. And I'm finding most of my ladies carry probably 25%, they're 75% in their masculine. And they generally do pick some masculine men, and they're mad because he's too controlling. They don't want to be controlled, and that's what a man is. No man wants somebody else telling them how to do it, more, better, or different. So I work with them to keep them in their feminine, which we all have access to. But it's hard when you've been trained, or you didn't have a father that cherished you and he taught you how to be a man in this woman's world. So everybody's masculine at work. It's when you get off work to put your masculinity away and tune into more of your, this is for ladies, tune into more of your feminine energy when you're in a relationship. And some men, some men are more feminine and they do well with masculine women. You just have to identify which energy you prefer to be in.
And how would you do that?
Well, that's awful hard because the women go, well, how do I get into my feminine? You have to be patient, vulnerable, and vulnerability is hard. Showing the side of you that your weaknesses, your flaws. Men generally do not want to show any flaws, so that gives them an edge. Men are compete, control, conquer, go-getters, get the job done, build money, climb the ladder, stab every guy on the way. Feminine is more of the softer energy. We express our feelings. We're feeling-centered. So we come from a place of our feelings rather than our logic. So I work with women to get a feeling chart, because when I ask them how they feel, they say, I feel like this is ridiculous. And ridiculous is not a feeling. Remember Dr. Allen said, like is not a feeling?
Oh, yeah. That is not a feeling.
I do not know how to state a feeling. I feel he's a jerk. I feel he's not doing his part. I feel, and it's like, I feel sad. Or I feel mad. I feel upset. Those are all feelings. So that's one thing. But here's something I pulled up. It's called Healing the Feminine Wounds. Okay. Let's see. Healing. Okay. So here's some. If disorganized, be accountable. If disconnected from the feminine, you escape pain and feelings and love. So these are ways that you have a feminine wound. And then you need to connect to feminine and do not engage in negativity or drama. If you have a lower self, resonates with negative and drama. If you have a low self-esteem, you resonate with negativity and drama. And then self-awareness is the key to healing. Trauma becomes comfortable. You break patterns. Give yourself safe space to heal. I give myself permission to speak my truth with clarity and love. Clarity equals no truth, chaos, or destruction. Love equals fear or anger. Connect to your wound, cradle, and feel her femininity. I give my permission to feel my pain and release it. These are exercises to release the wound of holding on to masculinity and allowing to be more in your feminine energy. It takes some work. There's a lot of, you can go on the internet and find a lot of tools of breathing exercises and things like that to get into your feminine and work on your trauma. So with that, Andy, let me ask you some questions. You're a man.
Okay.
I told you my a lot, you know, when I get women, the best thing to do is, like Dr. Ellen says, identify whether you want to be masculine or feminine. That would be number one. And if you want both, that means you're a narcissist, which is healthy because you're equally divided, but the other person you're with does not get to vote on which energy they want. They have to be a zero because you dominate both masculine and feminine. So they just go with whatever position you're in. If you're in your feminine, they better go in their masculine. If you're in your masculine, they got to shift over if it works. That's hard on the energies for a lot of people. Pick your main suit.
So I found something on styles of men and women.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, give me your intake. I've been doing all the talking. Share some information that you know about masculine and feminine.
Well, you know, we got the four styles of men, four styles of women.
Oh, yes. I saw that in my notes. Go ahead. Share that.
So, I mean, there's a lot here. So
let me
kind of just talk about what the styles of a real man are.
Okay.
And we'll do the styles of real woman, anchor woman.
I just pulled that up too. Okay.
So the styles real man, his time structuring is he works to earn a living or his keep and takes care of his family.
Mm-hmm.
He seeks strokes or love by giving, protecting, and cherishing women, kids, animals, and the planet.
Mm-hmm.
The love he seeks or strokes is love, affection, and sex. And his unconscious motive is to actualize and individuate. And hopefully he's gone through his Fisher King wound by age 45.
What, can you go into detail what that Fisher King wound is? Remember Dr. Pat used to talk about it?
Yeah, she used to talk about the movie too.
Yes. So that, yeah. So tell the audience about the Fisher King wound.
Yeah.
From what I know is it's when he turns, you know, he's no longer like wanting people to mother him. He has to become a man. So he has to go through that wound of identifying that women are not on this planet to serve him.
Yeah. I mean, it does talk about it in Man's Role of Woman's Universe.
Okay.
And let me talk here. It's because it's actually chapter one, the global wounds of the Fisher King, past and present. And it says, you know, in part, in many versions, it is his sin that first prevents him from curing the Fisher King wound by failing to ask the question, "What ails thee, uncle?" In his excitement of attainment, he has failed to keep within him the nurturing caretaker of the feminine principle. This also prevents him from healing the earth of its wounds, the wasteland of bombings, war, violence, and the rape of resources, by not cherishing the internal yin soul and what was given to humankind to enjoy and share. When he leaves his queen, it is to seek his mother, but he finds the grail instead. He cannot return to the womb of his mother, so he must find the internal mother of the universe within him, his soul, his yin energy, his anima, the castle in which the hero is invisible to all but the worthy, with water being a metaphor for woman spirituality. This can be seen as the womb of the new mother who is now rediscovered by her son and lover, inasmuch as every lover in yin is a son and every mistress yang is a mother. Sexuality and sensuality lead to an internal power that both castration to the power of religion, then and now. Cover yourself, hide away, and be quiet. Passion, even in its academic sense, or its motivation for advancement of the human condition, was and is today greatly feared in the Middle East, for it knows no boundaries, no rules of order. It is pure, passionate emotion and laser focus. The patriarchs jeered at it and called it obsessive. But the troubadours and all the romantic poets who revered its power loved it. William Blake spoke of obsession as being the doorway to wisdom, which led Jim Morrison to name his band The Doors. So It's learning to appreciate and embrace the yin part of our yang body.
Okay. Okay, well, that's a little different than what I thought the interpretation was.
Well, what do you think?
Well, I remember I said I thought it was when men turned, kind of went into manhood and they took care of, they kind of pushed themselves away from women, from people mothering them, and took responsibility to be men, to give, protect, and cherish women, planet, animals, and the, you know.
So those are like, one is where the mother's taking care of things.
Yeah.
And he's got to learn that he has to take care of things.
Yes.
So, but the way you do that is through your yin and understanding the power of what's around you and what it means to actually take care of that stuff and their values. So women, kids, animals, and the planet, if you're an abuser of kids, animals, and the planet, you don't appreciate it.
Yes.
Which means you're very much your too masculine, too macho mindset.
Okay.
It's all for me.
Yes.
As real men, we want to get away from that idea and get to the point where we can be counted on to take care of women, kids, animals, and the planet.
Let me ask you, just in your, what I'm seeing is that more people, I think there's a lot more of the men that don't want to be in relationships because it's so convenient just to have multiple people. Why be tied down? And I'm finding that there's a lot of women that are in their more, maybe this is just for me because what I experience, are more into their masculine growth. I think the generation is going more into their masculine, the younger women.
And the masculine likes free sex.
Yes. And no responsibility and no commitment. And there are a lot of, I wouldn't call them, you know, feminine men. I think they're men that have turned more feminine, that they don't have to commit or give, protect, and cherish. They're going with their feelings of just wanting to have fun as well. And
yeah, because the yang woman do it for them.
Yes, that's true. And when the yang women chase them, they're gracious to have casual sex, and everybody's an adult, so they don't have to feel guilty.
Well, yeah, let's make it adult legally, not necessarily mentally.
Yes, yes.
You know, I like that Outwitting the Devil where it says everybody grows up, but everybody gets old, but not everybody grows up.
Oh, now I have to pull that out again. That's a good book to read. I have it in audio. I like listening to an audio.
Me too.
Outwitting the Devil, because you have different voices.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a wonderful book.
Yeah. We're running out of time. We glad we had one caller and one writing question. If anybody ever wants us to talk about a certain subject that you're unfamiliar with, please share it by sending me an email at info@drpatallen.com. Don't be shy calling. We don't use names, and everybody's anonymous, and no question is a bad question. And with that, we will see you next week. Thank you, Andy, for your input. And Andy, if you have a subject you want to talk about next week, please feel free to write some notes and we'll bring it to the show next week.
Will do. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Take care.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.